If you believe God for a miracle, and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
When we were born in sin, we took on the attributes of sinful behavior. But then we needed to be born of the Spirit so that we could take on the attributes of spiritual behavior. But there is conflict. Conflict that says, though I'm filled with the Spirit, there is a fleshly pull to what is understandable, what is distinguishable. And so Paul says you got to know where your struggle is. And so Jesus sends the Holy Spirit inside of us. Not to teach us to dance, not to teach us to talk in tongues. Those are byproducts. But this is what he's come to do, to help us understand these things in Galatians chapter 5. Notice this. He says, verse 17, for we naturally love to do evil things. Naturally. So here you are. You just left church. Spirit of God's blessed us. Praise team took us to a level of worship. Now, after service, the benediction comes. You get in your car. You go out, you turn right, you start going that way because you're going to go to Michael's. You're going to go get you some breakfast, and you're kind of hungry, and you want to get there quick because you know it gets full around this time because a lot of early morning churchgoers go over to eat. So you get down here to Wadsworth Avenue, and the light is yellow, and then it turns red. And then as you're waiting for it to turn green, just as it turns green, somebody walks across the street, and they walk real slow. Because they believe in the law of, you know, the pedestrian has the right. So they're walking real slow. Something inside of you rises up and says, move or I run you over. Now, wait a minute. You just came out of a Pentecostal service. You just spoke in tongues. You just lifted your hands and gave God creative praise. Where did that come from? You thought you were completely delivered from it. You were delivered from the consequences of it, but you weren't delivered from the attributes. Somebody ever asked you a question and you pause for a moment to determine whether or not you should lie? Here's a good example. The gas company just called. They said, now you're scheduled for disconnection. Did you send the payment? Yes. Then immediately you pick up your rosary beads and Hail Mary full of grace. Get me out of this rotten place. You understand. Why? What happened? Why? Because the flesh immediately goes to sin. It immediately goes to sin. You sit there, Holy Ghost filled, man of God, full of the Spirit of God. A lady comes down to praise God. She's praising God. And in the course of praising God, her hips sway. You undress her. In your mind, you're looking for panty lines. And you just got finished speaking in tongues. And you're like, And you follow her all the way back up the aisle. And you can't praise God for the rest of the service. And if she comes back through for offering, you still looking. And I just preached this message about getting rid of flesh. Where is that coming from? You're a deacon, a minister, an elder. Where did it come from? How is that able to come back in your mind? You laying before God, talking to God, and a sexual activity runs through your mind that you had in the past. How does it get there? You didn't invite it. The flesh reached out because he's in conflict. He says, nah, all right, you can pray, but remember Pookie. Remember Shaniqua. Remember. You don't want to remember it. You don't want to remember it. You close your eyes. Help me, Holy Ghost. Help me. And it seems like help doesn't come. Why? Because the Holy Ghost is in there saying, I don't have nothing to do with that. How can I help you? You did that. That's why Paul ends chapter 7 with that great cry. Is there any hope? Is there any hope for me? Is there any hope when I find that my thoughts continue to go over to the old lifestyle? Is there any hope for me? I'm trying to stop lying, but I keep lying. If I don't lie by words, I lie by my lifestyle. God, help me, help me. Is there any hope? He said, yes. I thank my God that through the interjection of the Holy Spirit, I now have power to crucify my flesh. I now can tell my flesh, you're not thinking like that anymore. Your mind now thinks the thoughts of God. I tell my flesh, I know you want to go back and think those old things, but we're not going back down that road anymore. And so you want me to watch that old website full of sexual innuendo? No, I'm putting on the Bethel website where I can get some words that strengthen my spirit. You want me to talk about somebody on the phone? No, I'm going to join the prayer line, and I'm going to use my phone skills to pray for somebody. What are you doing? You are walking in freedom. My brothers and sisters, Jesus never said the Holy Ghost would take over. He said he would help. He's called the helper, but you have to give him something to help. Holy Ghost, please. Holy Ghost, please. Take this away from me. Holy Ghost says, okay. You stop feeding it, it'll die. You stop feeding it. You stop talking about what that person used to do for you. Then you won't miss them. If you stop talking about, here, they've gone on with the Lord. The Lord has forgiven them, moved them to next places, and you're still holding on. So much so that you can't even come to church. Every time I see them, it just does something to me. And they see you and go, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And then you say to them, well, then that's because you didn't feel what I felt. No, they didn't. They weren't as needy. They loved themselves. And so Paul now migrates into this teaching. He says, verse 17, we naturally love to do evil things. Yes, naturally. The flesh just loves to do evil. If you could get away with not paying your taxes, you wouldn't pay them. When it's time to give in the offering, you just, I ain't giving. We just naturally love. I don't care what the man of God says. I ain't coming to church. I'm just not coming. Jesus gave command to take communion regularly. We do it every first and fourth Sunday in the evening so that it's isolated for the service that it is. People, I ain't coming. They should do it in the daytime. But God said do it in the evening. I didn't make that thing up by myself. If I had my way, we'd do it at 7:30. But I don't have my way. It's his church. Look, I ain't coming. It's different if you're working. But we just decide, I ain't coming. Why? Because the flesh says, I ain't coming. Then others put it on children. I can't come because, you know, I got my godchild tonight. When my daughter was little, she went to everything we went to. And she never had one Cheerio in church. She sat on my lap and listened. I gave her a little book to write in, something that didn't make noise. She went to prayer. Revival was there. She went every night. Never did I say to God, I can't go because, you know, Shanina's little. No, she went. The flesh will always have an excuse. He said, we just, by nature, do whatever we want to do. People in leadership. One of them, they want to lead, but they'll just, I ain't coming. And the people are looking at you as a leader. And they say, well, if my leaders don't go, why should I go? By nature, we just do evil things that are opposite from the things that the Holy Spirit tells us to. He says, and the good things we want to do when the Spirit has his way, verse 17, are just the opposite of our natural desires. So the Spirit says, bless them that curse you. That's the opposite of drop them before they drop you. He always does the opposite. So if he gives you, praise God, if he gives you specific instructions to do something good for somebody, it's because your flesh is telling you to do something bad or it's telling you to think something bad. Why would God have to tell you to do something good if you already know to do it? If you already know to do good, why does he have to tell you unless you're struggling with doing something bad? Or saying something bad, or believing something bad. Do you think that when God tells you to give somebody a gift that you have a conflict with, do you think he's telling you to do that for them? No, because they've not done anything. He's telling you to do it for you. God doesn't tell me, go buy him a shirt because he talked about you. God isn't telling me to buy that man a shirt because he talked about me. He's saying, you go buy him the shirt as your way of saying, I forgive you for talking about me. He's working on me, not them. He may take the shirt and never change, but I should be changed by now because I just bought him a shirt and something should happen. So Paul said, when the Spirit comes in, you ought to change. He tells us these two forces are constantly fighting inside of us, jockeying for position, for possession. Oh, you're saved. This has nothing to do with your salvation. You're saved. Born again. But it will determine how, not if, how you enter into heaven. Everyone that goes won't get rewards. Paul teaches that in 1 Corinthians. He says, we all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, not the great white throne, but the judgment seat. He says, and all of our works will be tested by fire. He says, as believers, we only put three types of works on the fire: gold, silver, precious stones. He says those three things will be tried by fire. He says, but we can also lay on that altar wood, hay, and stubble. Those three things are burned up by fire. He says, and those who have more of that than the gold, silver, and the precious stones, he says, they'll be saved, yet so as by fire. Which means by the skin of your teeth, you make it in with no reward because all that's on your record is fleshly gratification. I don't like things. Things ain't going my way. I don't like what's happening. I don't like more hay. Every time you complain, more hay. Every time you let frustration drive your decisions, wood. That's the works of the flesh. Wood is the works of the flesh. More wood, more wood. And then every time you act on those decisions that bring you to sin, more, more, more of the flammable material. And when you stand before God and you say, Father, I served as a leader, he says, yep, but look at all this. Look at your motive. You held on to that leadership position just because you wanted to be recognized. Burned up. In that leadership position, you were not faithful. You were not demonstrative of my grace. You were legalistic. You were opinionated. You were catty. You did a lot of backbiting. You never endorsed the vision. So, burn up. So you say, I got all this good stuff over here. He says, but balance it by what you just lost. You come in, but by the skin of your teeth. Why? Because it wasn't spirit-driven. It was fleshly motivated.
For a copy of the message you just heard in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
06116A.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $16. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. To attend Bethel Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Sheltenham Avenue at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 p.m., with prayer and Bible study being held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us on the web at www.betheldeliverance.org. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert, Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church. A place where miracles still happen.
Every time you say that name, something happens on the inside. Depression goes, fear dissipates, joy bells begin to ring, power flows through you. Every time you say that name,
come and experience a demonstration of the Spirit and the power of God at a three-night revival with Bishop Eric Lambert of Bethel Deliverance International Church, all being held on Wednesday, July 27th through Friday, July 29th. Come to be revived, empowered, and activated to impact the world with the love and the power of God. Services begin 7:30 p.m. with dynamic praise and worship, followed by a powerful message from Bishop Eric Lambert, Jr. Prayer will be held prior to each service at 6:30 p.m. nightly. Don't miss this special time to continue to seek the face of the Lord. We are having revival July 27th through July 29th. Be there.